Morning. I want to speak for just a few minutes on how God builds a great church. I'm not just talking about how God builds a church, but how God builds a great church is what I want us to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4. Verse 18 and 19, if you do not have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to church so you can follow along. If you don't, you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Here is an incredible portion of Scripture, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God, because this portion of Scripture is prophetic. Jesus Christ said this when he stood in the tabernacle before the Pharisees, and he read this scripture aloud. And I believe that this was the forebearing of the church. You see, the church was actually born after Jesus Christ died. The new covenant church, which God had ordained and had said, this is what my church will be like after my gift of salvation through my son Jesus. And here Jesus is saying this in Luke chapter 4, and he's quoting this. He's saying, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Pray with me this morning. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you for your church. And God, I thank you for what you have done. But God, this morning, we're excited about what you are going to do in building a great church. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How will this church be built? Jesus has said here that it's got to be through the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. You see, there has to be an anointing upon the church. You see, a church without God's anointing is nothing more than a social club. That would have been a great place for an amen there. A church building where the Spirit of God does not abide is nothing more than a history class. It's nothing more than a powerless place to where people go for a few minutes or a few hours each week. They walk out of that place and their life is unchanged and unscathed, and they walk out powerless for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ began to tell his disciples that this church that is going to be built is going to be a great church. People are going to be saved. People are going to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I tell you, a church that does not see people saved, the doors need to be closed, because that's what it's all about. We need to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And we have got to come up with a way. How do they come to know Jesus Christ? What do we do as a congregation? What do we do as a people in order to get people to the place to where they can hear the good news and that they can sense and feel the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord that comes upon them and that they hear the preaching of the good news? That they can hear the proclamation of freedom for prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, the release of the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, right now there's people. Wilton right now is full of people who are oppressed. They are prisoners. They are blind. And they need to hear that Jesus Christ loves them. And how are they going to hear unless someone proclaims it, unless someone preaches it. It's got to be more than just going through rites and rituals. It's got to be more than just going through man-made plans, but it must be of having the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon everything that the church does. How are we going to do that? I want to read one more scripture to you this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, don't turn with me because you don't have enough time. Here's what it says. Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Here Jesus asks his disciples, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say you're Moses, some say you're the Christ, some may say, but wait a minute, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up. He says, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You are the Lamb without blemish. You are the one that was sent by God to take away the sins of the world." And Jesus looked at Peter so proudly, and he's proclaimed this right here. He said that flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it was but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. As long as we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, we cannot fail. As long as we keep our eyes upon the rock, this church is going to do great. It's not about going through traditions and man-made rituals or rites. It's all about touching the heart of God with praise, and it's all about doing something to tell people who are outside the walls of this church that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ died for them, and that Jesus Christ wants to spend eternity with them forever. But how are they going to hear? How will they hear unless we do something to tell them this morning? You see, there's got to be some core values to a church. If you were to go to most churches today and ask them, "What are your core values?" You see, we found out something. Those that are in business know that in business, when you have a business, first of all, you got to look at that business and say, "What are we in business for?" Most businesses, if you're just in it to make money, that's not enough. It's got to be to meet a need. You know, those that produce this widget over here, that widget must meet a need for people to buy that. We as a church must kind of come to find out, what are our core values? What do we want to see God do in our church? And this is just something, this is something God gave me over 3 years ago, so profoundly to my spirit that I can't even, this is not from Pastor Tim, this is straight from the Word of God. As I was at a weekend retreat with pastors, it was called boot camp, and they talked about it. Why do we do what we do? We need to understand, why do we do what we do? And when there needs to be some core values, and these are not in any certain order here, but our core values need to be evangelism, to tell people that Jesus Christ loves them, to see people saved and empowered, that their lives are transformed by the renewing of their minds and their spirits, so people's lives will never be the same. It needs, our core values is worship. This morning we spent time, it was not about a concert, it was about touching the heart of God with worship and praise. Oh yeah, the music was good, and I tell you what, I am so excited about our worship team. What God is doing in our worship team, I am excited about it. You know why? Because people are spending time praying, saying it's not about performance, it's about touching the heart of God in pure, unadulterated worship and to give God glory and praise. The next thing is to grow in the Word of God and discipleship. We're doing that. If you're not coming to Life Builders on Wednesday night, man, you're missing an opportunity. Man, we go deep. We're not in the kiddie pool. We're out of the kiddie pool. I mean, Wednesday night, we go deep. Some nights I walk around going, "Wow, I'm glad they didn't ask me any questions," you know, because that was pretty deep. And I'm in growing in discipleship, growing in fellowship and love with one another. That's what it's all. And the last thing that, and God put the, God gave this to me, because God knows Tim Leathers. If it ain't fun, I ain't gonna do it. I'm too hyperactive for that. That I really believe that church ought to be more than a funeral home. My dad used to say most churches are so cold you could skate up and down the aisles. And I don't believe our church needs to be a cold, dead, funeral home feeling place. I believe our church needs to be a place where people walk in and go, "Wow, I feel something here. I don't really know what it is, but I like it." When people come in here on a Tuesday or Thursday night for karate, they walk in and I've heard people say, "Wow, what goes on in here? This is kind of a neat church. Like people come in for a concert, for a piano recital or something like that, and they'll go, oh, you know, I kind of like what I'm feeling here. What time does your church service start? You see, that when we get together, the things that we do, it ought to be enjoyable. I tell you what, I look so forward to Sunday mornings. I have trouble sleeping at night because I love to come to church on Sunday morning. I've had it in times where I got up on Sunday morning going, oh dear God, I don't want to go. And my wife's going, you got to go. You're the pastor. You know, she's elbowing me. And I'm going, but I don't want to go. My dad used to tell a joke about that. A guy one morning just wouldn't get out of bed. And his wife kept going, you've got to go to church this morning. He says, yeah, but I don't like those people and they don't like me. And she said, well, you got to go because you're the pastor, you know. And I really believe that church, everything that we do ought to be exciting, fun, life-filled. You see, people are looking for a church that is alive. Most people walk into a lot of churches and they walk in going, wow, when did they, you know, they probably should have buried this thing because there's no life here. There's no power. There's no authority. And God is looking for a church to where the power of the sovereign Lord can come in and be poured out on people upon everything that we do. Now, how are we going to do this? How do we take these core values and how do we put them in place? You see, there must be a vision. There must be a God-given vision for us in this church. And this is the vision that God gave me for Heartland Fellowship Church. As I was on my face before God saying, God, tell me what you want for Heartland Fellowship Church. And this is what God spoke to me so loud in my spirit. I was running looking for a pen and paper to write it down. Is God wants us to invite and invest and integrate people to Christ. As simple as that. We have to invite and invest and integrate people to Christ. Now let me show you how this works. Oh man, it didn't work again. Those are supposed to be little arrows, by the way. It's supposed to go like this. As we invite people, we invest in them through discipleship. We invest in them through fellowship. We invest in them through ministry opportunities. And as we invite and we invest into them through discipleship, we integrate them into the body of Christ and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then as those people are integrated into the body, those people begin to go out and invite, which those people bring people in and they begin to invest into them through discipleship and fellowship and love and nurturing. And then that integrates them into the body of Christ. They come to know Jesus Christ. And then you see the cyclical process here. As we invite and we invest and we integrate people to Jesus Christ, what happens to the church? I don't believe it's an addition process. I believe it's a multiplication process. Let me just give you my scenario here. I love this. Do you realize if each person in this room right now would say, God, in the year 2007, I just want to reach one person for you. I want to pour into one person in the year 2007 so I can get them to the point I can talk about Jesus Christ and they can see Jesus Christ living in me to the point they finally look at you and say, you know, I want what you got. And you pray the sinner's prayer with them and they come in and they come into the church. Look what happens. Right now we're running, most time we're running between 80 and 100 people. Look what happens in the year 2008. We're no longer running between 80 and 100. Now we're running between 160 and 200. Now in the year 2008, if everybody just said, God, give me one person to reach. I'm not talking about going out and reaching the masses. I just want to reach one person. Maybe it's somebody who's maybe it's my neighbor. Maybe it's somebody who I stand next to on a factory line or somebody in my office complex or somebody in my school. I just want to reach one person for you. Look what happens in 2008. We no longer are 160 to 200. Now what are we? We're 3-something to 400. And that's in the year 2008. Now, 2009, if everybody begins to do that same thing, you invite and invest and integrate people, in 2009, now we're 4-something to 800. What happens? We can't sustain that growth. We're going to be in a perpetual building program or renting a building somewhere. That's the heart of God. You know, most time we look at evangelism as something too big. Oh, I can't go out there and reach 40 or 50 people. Just each one reach one. If each one of us will just say, God, give me one person this year that I can pour into, that I can pray for, that I can lift up and not tear them down, and I can help invite and invest and integrate them to the body of Christ, something will happen. And that is this mission right here. Heartland, this is our mission statement that I love. It's posted in our bulletin. It's on the wall out there. Heartland Fellowship is committed to reaching families through evangelism, which is invite, build through relationship, which is invest, and to grow through the Word of God, which is integrate. This will cause people to live a life of worship and to be, not to do witnessing, but to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what God has called the church to be, is a light, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This is what God has called, and everything that we do, we lay every time we come up with some new idea, and God says, this is what I want you to do, we lay it next to the vision, our mission statement, and say, is this going to meet our mission statement? Is this going to meet what God wants to have happen in His church? You see, every good business has a vision statement and a mission statement. And if we're going to do the business for God, I believe we need to do the same thing. We need to keep looking at our goals. We need to keep looking at what we want to do. We need to keep having short-range goals and long-range goals. In my office, I have a board that has the seven things I want to see happen through Heartland Fellowship Church. What are our hindrances? What are our boundaries? What are our short-range goals, our long-range goals, in order to see God do great and mighty things through this church? Because you see, God doesn't just want to build a church. He wants to build a great church. And it's going to take working through. See, our vision is to invite and invest and integrate people to Christ. And here's our motto. I love this motto right here. Ministry comes from the overflow. You see, if it's hard for you to minister to somebody if you're only half full. And that's why discipleship is so important. That's why Wednesday night is so important, that you become filled up with God's presence in your life, that you begin to spill out on people around you, that you begin to just ooze the people around you. They want to sit with you in the break room. They want to sit next to you at lunch because they like what they feel. They like what they hear. They know you're not going to make fun of them. They know you're going to build them up instead of tear them down, because the Spirit of God is active and working in and through your lives. Because you see, ministry comes from the overflow of God out of your life. That's why we need to be full and overflowing with the presence of God, with the Spirit of God, that we begin to touch and ignite our world for the cause of Christ. This is what God has called Heartland Fellowship to do, because you know why? Because God is building a great church. God is building a great church. I tell you what, I am so excited what God is doing through Heartland Fellowship Church. I am so excited what God is going to do. This last year, what God has done, don't even hold a candle to what God is going to do in 2007. We've seen new people come in, people saved. We've seen people's lives transformed. We're seeing ministry going on that's affecting people's lives for Jesus Christ. And God's calling us to do more in the year 2007. How are we going to do it? It's going to take people that have a vision and a mission that will say, God, where do you want me? God, I'll bury my pride. What if you want me to teach them a class, if you want me to change diapers in the nursery, God, whatever you want me to do, you want me to work on a bus or rake a yard or paint a wall, God, whatever you have for me, here I am, God, use me, whatever you want. And I tell you what, there's nothing more exciting than being used by God. I've had some pretty incredible jobs in my life, but there's none of them make me more excited than when I get to work for God. When I get to spend my life being used by, and I tell you what, it's contagious. When you begin to let your life's light shine before men, they may see Jesus Christ living through your life. Oh my goodness, it's contagious what God wants to do in and through your life. As I said, I am so excited what God is doing. That God is truly giving us opportunities to invite people to come to Heartland Fellowship, not just so we can say, hey, look at Heartland. It's all about people coming to know Jesus Christ. We need it can't be about numbers. It can't be about buildings. It's got to be about pure motives of seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You hear these churches all over the place. Well, we're the biggest ones. We're the best, you know. We're the mega church. And I believe God goes, I'm not impressed. I believe what God's saying, but what are you doing? I don't care about building buildings and rooms and all this. What are you doing for my glory? What are you doing for the kingdom's sake? It's all got to be about the kingdom's sake. It's all got to be about seeing people come to know Jesus and putting opportunities for people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what Heartland Fellowship's all about. I tell you what, God has challenged my wife and I and my family in the last couple of months in ways that just blows us out of the water. And we are so excited, number one, to get to be the pastors of this church, the greatest church around. And I had an interview some months back, and they asked me, so when are you become a full-time pastor, Tim? And I said, I am a full-time pastor. Instead of me keeping office hours in the church here, I keep office hours in City Hall. And I told the guys who interviewed me, I said, I got to minister to 3 families in my office this week. How many did you guys minister to? And they kind of looked at me, because they're from big churches, you know, and they're full-time. And my wife and I sat there, and we began to tell them what's going on at Heartland Fellowship Church, the excitement, the joy, the fun that we're having. And they were just kind of looking at each other. You could almost see envy in their eyes. I made the comment. I said, my board meetings are so much fun. And they looked at me like they'd fallen out of a tree, you know, something. They like, your board meetings are fun? And I said, yeah, we have a good time at board meetings. And they couldn't believe it, because God is doing great things. This morning I want to ask you to stand with me all over this building. And we've intentionally made this short so we can get into our annual business meeting. Come this morning. And what we're going to do something. I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. There's 2 things that Heartland Fellowship Church is doing that's causing spiritual growth. Number one is prayer. There's been lots of people who came to this church every Wednesday night. Sometimes it was just a handful of people that would come, and we'd stand right here every Wednesday night saying, God, pour out your blessing upon this church. God, we need your help. God, we need help paying the utility bills. We need help doing this. And you know what? God was faithful. And we began to pray that God would cause this to be a lighthouse, a spiritual lighthouse where the beacon of hope would be shining forth into our world, into our cove that God has given us, and that's Wilton and the surrounding areas. And that people would see that light, and they would be drawn to the light, seeing that light as a way to guide their lives, and they would be drawn into the harbor of the love of God, and they would come to know Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to go through a revival like we've never seen before. I sense it in my spirit. I sense it in my heart that God is getting ready to move in our midst like we've not seen probably ever. The Bible said, Jesus said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for God to move. I don't want to be stagnant and stale and stay the same Tim Levis I am today. I want to grow with God. And this morning, I want to ask us to do something. If you're in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest decision you will ever make is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm not talking about taking a class. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about having a relationship with the Son of God. For Him to come and to live inside of you. And for the fruit of the Spirit to become active in your life. And for joy to just be to ooze out of your life. For ministry to begin to come from the overflow of your life. And that you can have the greatest peace in your life is to know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you've known Jesus Christ in the past, but you just kind of let your life get stale and stagnant. You've been consumed with the hassles and the hustle of life. And you've just kind of let your relationship go to the wayside for a while. Well, this morning as we stand in the presence of God for you to pray, we're going to pray here in just a minute for 2 things. For God to move upon each of us individually. And the second thing is for God to move upon us corporately to do what God wants us to do. How can we be the beacon of hope to reach a lost and dying world? You see, there's people in Wilton that are dying. There are people in Wilton just in probably a stone's throw around us. Then the next year they're going to be dead. They're going to be standing in the presence of God. And how will they know the love of God unless we tell them? You see, God's called us to give the good news of His salvation. And God wants to use this church, this body of believers, to do some incredible things in the year 2007. Are you ready for that? That's what I want us to pray about. Number one, that God use each one of us. God prepare our hearts and our lives. And God use us corporately. God use us corporately to be that lighthouse, that beacon of hope for a lost and dying world. Pray with me this morning. Father, this morning.
God, I thank you for what you're doing in hearts and lives. God, I thank you, Lord, for there's people in this room that 1 year ago, they did not know you as Lord and Savior. They did not know your peace. They did not know your joy. God, I thank you for what you have done, Lord, in this past year. But God, we are so excited about this upcoming year. God, I pray right now, Lord, for those in this room right now that do not know you, Lord, that right now as they stand in your holy presence, that right now, God, they will confess you as Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, that right now they will ask you to come into their heart, to be their Lord and to be their Savior. And before they leave this place today, they will confess with their mouths that they've accepted you as Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for those in this room, Lord, that they've allowed their lives to grow stagnant and stale. God, I pray that your peace that surpasses all understanding would undergird them right now. God, draw them close to you. Lord, that any sins, Lord, they would put under the blood right now. Lord, that you would separate those sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord, that once again they will know the joy of your salvation. And God, this morning I pray for us corporately as a body of believers. Lord, as Heartland Fellowship Church, God, I pray that you would show us your will. God, that you would show us your desire. God, that everything that we do would be ordained by you. God, that we would be a church that invites people to come to know you. Lord, that we will invest time and energy into them in discipleship. And Lord, that we will integrate them into the body of Christ. Lord, that they will go out and do the very exact same thing. God, because you've called us to be fishers of men. God, I pray that each one of us, Lord, will look at what you have for us to do. God, I praise you this morning for what you have done through Heartland Fellowship Church in the past. But God, I thank you for what you are going to do in the future. Lord, today we love you and we thank you for what you are doing. Lord, we're excited about the future. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to give you 5 minutes and then we're going to come back in here and we'll probably go a little longer today than usual, probably not by much, but take 5 minutes, please sign the roster if you're a member.